live from Atlanta, Georgia. It's the Zach Ballinger Show, where we help you find your direction with passion and purpose. My name is Zach Ballinger. I'm your host. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We have a great guest. Two ways you can get involved in the show. Go to YouTube, Zach Ballinger, and hit that subscribe feature. And anytime we go live, you'll be able to join the show. Always, if you have any questions before any of our guests, Zach@ZachBallinger.com. Mail those questions in. We'll make sure to get to them to me or my guests. Jonathan, thanks so much for joining the show today.
Thank you for having me, Zach.
So, Jonathan, you're going to talk a little bit about your career. So, what do you do exactly?
I am what I would just call a data analytics nerd. I have a company called Logical Analytics, L-O-G-I-C-L-E. And I started doing individual consulting in business intelligence and data science for companies. And I just finished my doctorate earlier this year. And we've really pivoted to using that unique intellectual property as our company focus, and really working more with enterprise and other business consulting companies to work with a company's data culture. Because right now it seems like everybody's really quick to throw money at tools. Seems like, you know, doing AI or doing analytics is a popular thing, but there's very little thought that goes into, well, is the culture ready for it? Or what are our employees' data literacy? And that's largely what we do at Logical. But I still do the, you know, consulting for, you know, turning Excel sheets into databases and getting business intelligence rolling in companies, and just generally data, et cetera, here and there.
Gotcha. So under the career umbrella, we would almost call this data analytics. Is that right?
Absolutely right. Absolutely okay. Right.
And so let's say, you're a college student, you may be an undecided major, you're out there listening to the podcast, and you don't know what data analytics is or what mm-hmm. kind of careers exist. Can you kind of help us, guide us through maybe a 101? What is data analytics, and what type of career pathways out there are for college students?
There are so many job descriptions and titles for data scientist, data analyst, data engineer, and the space right now is really full of noise, and it's also, you can get very overwhelmed. Really, when I teach boot camps and undergraduate or graduate courses as adjunct, I get folks who are, you know, coming from very different paths, and I love that. So I usually start with just, you know, that explanation of, okay, data analytics is ultimately taking a raw set of data, whether it's, if you would imagine its simplest form, a table or a spreadsheet in Excel, and making meaning from that, communicating to an audience what's important, what does this mean, and what does it mean to me? And those last two things sometimes are a little bit different. And that's where we have to really focus and understand who is our audience, how do they digest information, and how do we communicate what's important both to the broader organization or the company, and maybe each listener, kind of, are they more, you know, do they like charts? Do they like pie charts? Do they like tables? Do they like bar graphs? You know, understanding your audience. So it's a little bit of math. It's a little bit of visual art. It's a little bit of psychology. Anybody can come into this field from so many different backgrounds. It's a wonderful place.
And how did you get interested in the career? Because, you know, the average high school or college student's probably not out there saying, well, I dream one day to be a data analytics major. Or data. So how did you come about this career?
So the field is really young, and I got into it before it was really defined. I was actually an English major at Clemson. And I always had a background in IT, so I sort of did it as a hobby. And I came to Clemson. I wanted to be a computer science major. I enrolled. I was a computer science major. I took calculus, failed it, took it again, failed it, took it again, failed it. And I'm like, okay, this is not working. So English literature was my second choice. And finished that out, loved it. And my master's, I started the master's in education, specifically in counseling. And because at the time we had a really major shortage of school counselors in South Carolina, and that looked like a really promising career path. And my dad was in education too, so that influenced it. And in my educational psychology classes, I'd taken a lot of statistics courses. That kind of that was the math I got. And if you couple stats with educational research and sort of this already, my interest in IT and always doing stuff with computers, you put all those together and you get data science and data analytics, because I was able to take all those skills, package them together. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm doing stuff in SPSS and R and SAS and producing tables and charts and this and that. And, you know, that was back in 07, 08. And at that point, really data science had not become a discipline yet. So I was really charting my own course and waiting for everybody else to catch up in terms of career coaches and classifications and that sort of thing. And I remember my first actual kind of real data scientist job, I was doing project work for a couple of banks up in Charlotte. And that was, you know, very specifically, we have this problem, we want to use this tool, we need insights into the data, and it was actually called a data scientist. So that was my first foray into it.
Wow. Thank you for walking us through that. And, you know, so what kind of education or training or certifications do you need? I always ask this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, somebody may be out there, they may be in high school, or they may be interested in transitioning into a career. What kind of educational credentials do they need?
I have taught individuals from a lot of different backgrounds. And, you know, I think about, you know, my daughter, she's 11, she's in sixth grade. And so I'm thinking about, you know, from her perspective, as she starts to think about careers, you know, where, if she asked me, you know, Dad, I want to get to do what you do. What do I need to start doing? Really, you know, years ago in South Carolina, the legislature had set up this thing where students were required to declare a major in middle school, which to me was insane, because like I changed my major in college, right? Nobody really knows for sure. And you need that ability to explore. So, you know, as far as high school education, K-12, really just a good solid education. Right. A good, solid general education. Don't think too much into, I'm going to go into math or data science. I need to take like calculus and as many things as I possibly can. Don't worry about that. When you get into university, there are a lot of different ways this can go. So I've taught and seen really good data scientists and analysts from, you know, computer science backgrounds. I've seen them from marketing and general business. I've seen them from even like humanities like me, like visual arts and literature, and which I love because that's more of a critical thinking kind of, I forget which side of the brain that is, but that side of the brain in a very, you know, other side of the brain discipline. So having that perspective is really nice. The one thing I would say for anybody, though, it's easy to get caught up in, like I said before, the noise in the space. There's a lot of do this, do that. Buzzwords are out there. It's really hard to keep up sometimes. Learn SQL. Learn structured query language. Because for all of the new developments that come up in data science, for all of the new technologies and things, being able to think in terms of SQL, you know, select these records from this source, meeting these criteria, that's such a basic skill that a lot of times it's actually overlooked. So, you know, you jump ahead into doing Python and machine learning and neural nets and all the fancy stuff, and you forget the basics. You don't get the basics. There's plenty of stuff out there that's going to get into the what I call the sexy stuff, right? learn the basics, start with SQL, and pick up Python as a programming language. Don't worry about C or, you know, building websites. If you're really interested in data science, learn SQL, learn Python.
Thank you. And so when you talk about this type of career, do you have to have a bachelor's degree?
That is up for debate right now, it seems like. So a lot of the job postings out there, you know, will say, you know, bachelor's in computer science, or there are undergraduate programs coming up in data science. But I mean, look at me. I've got a bachelor's degree in English, and but I had enough project experience to be able to say, okay, you know, I know what I'm doing, right? So no. And if you've got that bachelor's already in something completely unrelated, don't feel like you're screwed up. Keep going. There are plenty of boot camps, certification courses. All of those are, you know, specifically coming at the problem as, okay, you know, these are shorter in time. They're more flexible. They're not a four-year commitment to something that may be completely different by the time you get out of it. Because if you think about it, if I started in 07 and I finished in 11, the discipline changed a lot between 07 and 11, or, you know, between 22 and 26. So, you know, I don't bet everything on a specific bachelor's degree. Honestly, the graduate level stuff, you know, I got my doctorate in data science. There are plenty of master's programs in it. There are plenty of master's like certificates in it. So no, BA, BS is not required to get into this field.
Yeah, and the reason I ask, I know a lot of people out there might be listening in their 30s or 40s. This might be a great career to transition into if you're at a corporate level and you maybe want to dabble in a class. Because, you know, Jonathan, correct me if I'm wrong, but data analytics is almost like medicine. You have to keep learning it. You have to keep refreshing it. It's almost like this constant thing where you have to keep refreshing because things are changing every day. Is that kind of true? You kind of stay up on it.
Absolutely right. And, you know, one of the things I say a lot with my my clients I work with is I think data science is the one area in IT where you have to always have one foot in research and one foot in industry. And I love continuing to teach because a lot of times I see my students and my clients the same way. I like seeing that light bulb turn on for somebody I'm helping in industry, just as much as I would with a student.
And, you know, this is so difficult for every individual to talk about, but if we try to take a stab at it, because I always encourage audiences to get out there and do preceptorships. So in other words, job shadowing, getting with somebody, asking them questions. But if a student were to spend a day with you, what would that look like?
Right now there's a lot from, cause my company right now, it's really just me and a partner. So, there's more on the business development side for me than I would really like right now, but that's the way it has to be. Right. There's a lot of, as far as the actual work side of things, you know, the data work, a lot of meetings where it's not like in a software project where you can go, okay, here are the specs. I'll see you in 2 weeks or I'll see you in a month with a product, right? Data science is such an iterative thing, meaning, okay, let's say for a typical project, we get the contract signed, we do the kickoff meeting. And the kickoff meeting is, let's understand, okay, we know enough. We know all this from our talks so far, but let's go a little bit further and understand your priorities. And there are always these first set of questions that people have from their data. And those are, you know, your known unknowns, things that we know we don't know that we want to find out. And we may go a 2-week cycle, which is typical in Agile, which is a whole nother thing. That's a whole nother podcast, honestly. This really, really works well in data science because you're always discovering. So, you know, in the next 2 weeks, we're going to answer these questions. So after that call, we'll set up our infrastructure, usually a data warehouse or God, there's Lake House now and all kinds of buzzwords. But anyway, a data source, we'll start getting everything into that data source. We'll maybe choose a visualization tool like Tableau or Power BI. And we'll also look at, okay, do we need to start developing like Python scripts, for example, to start bringing that data in, or can we do it direct exports, that sort of thing. And so there's a lot of setup work to be done. And then you start chowing down on those questions that your customer has. So now we get into the actual sort of insight generation. Then you come back with those initial insights. And now customer has those questions answered, but now they have a new set of questions that have been generated by your findings. So you repeat that process again, and you do that as many times as necessary. And there's always this transparent communication between the data scientist and the client. It can't be this thing where, okay, the data scientist does their work and there's somebody in the middle to translate it, like a sales rep or an account rep, and then there's the customer. You've got to be able to talk directly with the client because there's so much that can't be translated. And a lot of this, honestly, is getting insight into your customer. There's a lot of reading what they're not saying. One of the things I like to say about this job is, a customer may ask for A, B, and C, but your job is to understand they're really looking for X, Y, and Z. They just don't know it. What you ask for might not be what you really want to find out. And the difference between a straight up, transaction of you ask for this, I'm going to give you this, is understanding that and going, well, you asked for this, I'm going to give you A, B, and C, but I think you're really looking for X, Y, and Z. Does this answer your question? And that's the most rewarding part of this whole thing is going, oh yeah, that was what I wanted. Can we explore that a little more? And so it's that, the typical day is customer stuff, customer direct facing customer stuff. And then you kind of retreat back and do the work. And then you come back to the customer and rinse and repeat.
Gotcha. Thanks for walking us through that. What do you love about your field? What makes you passionate?
I am big on, not just delivering a product, but really helping change some mindsets. So I'm working right now with a company that we're building out for all intents and purposes. There's a thing called ERP, Enterprise Resource Planner. And those things are huge. They're scary. They're huge. But this is a company that doesn't need that big software suite. They need just a few little modules for sales, investor relations, manufacturing, work in progress, that sort of thing. And, the whole process has been more about discovering, A, B, and C versus X, Y, and Z, what they say they want versus what they need. That process and being able to help them understand that, look, this is not just a matter of, you write an order for some software and I'm going to deliver it to you. This is more of a journey with me with you, not only building out what you need, but helping you understand what you need more. And to me, that's the most fun part because I get to do that. I get to understand more about the business. I learned about so many different verticals or industries in this job. And really being able to change culture where, if we build something and the culture's not ready for it, it's just not going to work. It's going to go underused. We need to change the culture first. And being able to do that, and I guess that's where a little bit of that counseling background for me comes in, is I'm not just delivering a product. I'm helping change the business. And anybody that does this job will have the opportunity to do that because you're really a co-discoverer with your customer. You're not just saying, here it is, I built this for you, have fun. It is, let's look at this together and let me understand more about what you need.
On the flip side, this is kind of a difficult question for some, others jump right to it. But what are some of the challenges in your career field? You know, everything, when people come on the show, the students like, I want to do that. That sounds like the best job in the world. But there's always downsides in your career field. Can you give us a little peek back behind the curtains of that?
Yeah, the one that I like, that I like to reference the most, because it is probably the most common misunderstanding. And there's so many memes on it at this point, it seems like. You'll have somebody come to you and say, hey, can you just real quick give me this, you know, this set of information? And the little thought bubble that pops up for all of us is, sure, let me select everything from this magic table that you think exists, right? And the magic table does not exist. We need to spend a couple of hours probably pulling together all this stuff. And by the way, you asked me for this. I need to understand a little more about what why are you wanting to use it? What's your end goal? So it's not just a, you know, again, like I said before, here's an order for some software, let me build it for you. And that truly is a double-edged sword, because on one hand, it's wonderful to be able to do that process. But on the other hand, the perception is it's a heck of a lot easier than it really is. And that is that's the most frustrating part, because data to the uninitiated is, well, it's all there in this table, right? Just select it. Just give it to me. And it's not. So that's probably the second most frustrating thing is that culture shift, where, you know, a business may see this as a pure capital expenditure. Well, we're going to buy Tableau, and we're going to get a data scientist in here to make really great dashboards, and it's going to solve all of our problems. It's a magic bullet, silver bullet. And, you know, they hire somebody, and that person comes in and goes, your data is in horrible shape. And you have no data governance around it. There are no standard processes. It's junk, garbage in, garbage out. I'll make you dashboards, but they're going to be, you know, pretty versions of bad data. And a lot of times the response is, well, I didn't hire you to tell me the problems. I hired you to give me this stuff, right? What are you talking about? Culture? You're data science. That's HR stuff. And that's probably the second most frustrating part of the whole thing.
Gotcha. Thank you so much for your candor. So we did have a couple of questions that came in. First question is, Microsoft Access fall under data analytics?
It absolutely does. So does Microsoft Excel, actually, because both of those have the ability. Excel has the ability to do pivot tables and queries, although their data analysis tool pack for a long time, Microsoft has even admitted this does not work. Don't use it. But as far as Access goes, Access is a really great first step to be able to build out simple databases and run queries. That's actually where I got my start years ago in high school. And you can use Access as a front end for a SQL back end database. So if you want to start with Access, you know, that there you get your skills of planning out what the tables need to be, what the relationships need to be, and then being able to deliver something, because you can also build the front end in Access. You can build the forms and the reports. So there you get this sort of all encapsulated product that you can deliver or play with and have on your own. And then you can kind of graduate to, okay, let's learn about splitting databases. So there's a front end and a back end. Let's learn about migrating this to SQL and using it as a front end instead. So short answer, yes, absolutely. Long answer, get involved with it and use it just to kind of hack around with and learn table design, and that'll take you other places.
Thank you so much. And then the last question is what certifications or software, I think you answered the software, but what certifications would you recommend if somebody already has their bachelor's degree in a different field and may be looking to kind of explore this? Is there any specific certification you would recommend?
Not specifically. I have to admit, I haven't kept up on, you know, what all the certifications are for. I noticed a lot of these certifications are product driven. So, you know, you can do a Microsoft and I was a micro, I was certified in something, I forget what it was years ago, but a lot of those are, again, product driven. And, you know, open source is a big thing right now. You can do, MySQL is a free open source database. R is a free open source analysis platform. Metabase is a free open source web analytics platform. So, you know, the commercial platforms that really sponsor the certifications, they're losing their power. Really, everybody's more interested in what does your project portfolio look like? Where have you done work for, you know, maybe a friend, maybe some simple paid work or some project work that you've done on your own? What does your GitHub repo look like? What's your code look like? What's your skill in Python? What do you know about these different libraries? I would focus more on practical experience than certifications, although boot camps in place of certifications are usually a good choice too, because they give you this nice sort of survey of what you need to know going into a job.
Gotcha. Now, Jonathan, if people want to follow you, or do you have any social medias or a website or anything like that?
So the company is Logical Analytics, and it's spelled differently. I need to see if I can get the web domain that's actually, you know, logical spelled the right way. So it'll point. It is L-O-G-I-C-L-E. Sorry, it's early morning for me. L-O-G-I-C-L-E.us, logical, like a logic popsicle. That's the way I remember it. L-O-G-I-C-L-E.us. And we're on LinkedIn. I think we're on Facebook. I'm not on Facebook. But my email is Jonathan, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N, at logical.us, L-O-G-I-C-L-E.us. Website, LinkedIn, and that's it. Those are our two.
Thank you so much for sharing that. That's very nice of you. You know, if you guys have questions or anything, now we'll put all this in the show notes. So if you guys are driving and listen to this audio, don't, you know, try to write this down while you're driving or anything like that. It'll be all in the show notes. Jonathan, this has been a real enlightenment to this career field. We've not had a guest that come on and talk specifically about data science, data analytics. Thank you for coming on, shedding a light on this career path as a potential for somebody that's really out there, that's open to a new career. We greatly appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you, Zach. I really hope I hear from folks, because the best part about this is being able to identify and grow talent. That's the best part of having your own company. So I really hope we've been able to make an impact here.
Well, thank you so much. And guys, until then, this is the Zach Ballinger Show.